Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Full Draw Friday. This one is episode number 56. And today I'm going to hit on a couple things. Be a quick one. Get in and out of here so you can go in and enjoy the weekend. I'm going to talk about food plot timing. I think that's something that gets talked about a little bit, but maybe not enough. And I'll talk about why I think that is. And then I'm also going to update you guys on something that we've been discussing for at least a couple years now. And I think we talked about it on the last regular episode. And we hadn't really heard anything on it, so I looked it up today. And I've got some good news for y'all. So we'll talk about that on Full Draw Friday number 56. Let's get into it. All right, so we're going to start with the food plot timing. And the reason I think that probably doesn't get talked about a whole lot is because every time you go buy a bag of seed, you turn it around on the back and they've got plant dates depending on what zone you're in for where you're at. And I think we just... okay, August 15th to September 15th. And obviously we're talking about fall plots here because it'll change for spring a little bit. Some of the principles will stay the same that I'm going to talk about. But we see that date range on there and we think, okay, as long as you get it in August 15th to September 15th or August 1st to August 31st or whatever it is, then we should be good. To some extent, that is true. There's a reason they put those dates on the packages. That's going to be... if you can get it in that range, you're going to have the best results for that seed. It's going to be the most efficient, the most effective way to plant those. So you can plant them too early. You can plant them too late, especially depending on what it is. There are some things. I've done some stuff in the past, and I've documented it a little bit throughout our YouTube channel and stuff like that, where as long as you get rain, which we didn't last year, but a few years ago, and this was, I put on our Facebook page, I'd had some clover plots that the deer just absolutely destroyed, and I needed something to do going into the season. And this, we're talking like October, first week of October. So I went in and planted winter wheat and just broadcasted it. Rain came and did the rest of the work and had a great stand of winter wheat that year. So there are some things that you can plant all the way even up into the season. You could plant winter wheat even later than that, just depending on if you got rain or not. And there's some things that you can get away with planting a little bit earlier. You know, obviously with clover and stuff, you plant it in the spring, you can plant it earlier on in the fall and get maybe a little bit better stand going into the season. There's some other things as well. The biggest thing with brassicas in the fall, which is a lot of what guys are going to be planting in for their fall plots. If you're going to plant stuff in the spring, it's usually your clovers and things of that nature, your perennials, or maybe it's all your grains and stuff like that. There are some people who will plant soybeans in the fall, which is fine. But most of the time, when you're planting stuff in the fall, it's going to be your brassica blends and stuff for the stuff like that. And those, the timing is important because you want that plant to mature and be the most palatable for the deer, you know, in that hunting time range, for lack of a better term. If you plant it too early, it can hit that stage obviously too early, and then the deer won't eat it as much. You can plant it too late, and then it won't hit that stage till later, and it might not hit that stage depending on what kind of winter you get and how early the frost comes in and things like that. But I think that's a big reason why a lot of guys see deer that, you know, they say they don't like brassicas. We actually talked to John O'Brien from Grandpa Ray about this on one of the episodes he was on, you know, a couple years ago, and he said a lot of the reason is just the timing of getting it in the ground. If you plant it too early, it's going to basically get ripe. It's going to hit that stage where it's the most palatable for the deer. It's got the most nutrition in it. It's got the highest sugar content, whatever it is that makes it attractive to them. It's going to hit that too early, and then you're not going to see those deer eating it when they come off of soybeans or other green food sources. And the same could be said for if you plant it too late, you're never going to see them hit it. It might not ever reach its full potential. So that's one reason there where that date range becomes important. But more importantly than that, and I know I've said this on here before, but I don't know what episode, and it's probably been a while, so I figured we might as well talk about it again. You should plant for the season, not the calendar. So if, even if your seed says middle of August to middle of September, if you don't have any rain coming in from August 15th to September 15th, give it another week and see if you don't think September 15th is a hard deadline. Man, I got to plant this no matter what. If you still don't have any rain coming in, just wait for the rain. If it's a warmer year and it looks like it's going to stay that way, obviously you have more time for that stuff to germinate and grow. If it's a colder year, you might want to go ahead and get it in earlier. If you have rain coming in, if it's been real spotty like the last couple years, and it's difficult because obviously the forecast and stuff like that change. But if you have a really good chance of rain in the first week of August and it's been an incredibly dry year, so you're not sure when you're going to get rain again, plant before that rain. At least that way you're going to get some germination. You're going to get it to come up and grow. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about planting to the season. Understand what things have been how things have been going throughout the year. Look at the extended forecast, if you will. They're obviously not incredibly accurate all the time, but it's better than going blind. You can plan ahead and decide, okay, looks like I probably can wait until the middle of August because that's going to be the preferred timeline. Whatever they put on that, they usually put it on there again because it's going to be the most effective dates for that. But if you're not having any rain in those dates, then it doesn't really matter. Plants have to have water to grow. Me and Nate were talking about this the other day. Pretty much anything around here, maybe we talked about it on the podcast with Blake, but pretty much anything around here, if you get in the ground and you get water, it's going to grow. Depending on where you're at, there's going to be some areas where the soil is not as good. And even within a certain food plot, there's going to be certain different soil types where one end of it might not grow as well as the other. But for the most part, in our area and throughout a lot of the Midwest, really, in the Whitetail Range, Iowa, northern Missouri, you know, central Missouri, even Illinois, almost every part of Illinois except the deep south part of it, parts of western Kentucky, if you can get stuff in the ground and then get rain on it, it's going to grow. Obviously, where we are located specifically, we really benefit from that. But again, throughout the range, that's going to be a general rule of thumb. So the biggest thing to me is planting around a rain. Sometime within that, like anywhere really from August 1st to the end of September. Again, if you're just planting a brassica blend or something like that, you're probably going to be okay. You might not hit it perfect, but if you miss it, then you're not going to have anything. And we saw that again the last couple years where, not for lack of trying, not for lack of planning, but we'd get rain when we weren't supposed to get rain, and it wouldn't be very much, maybe like a quarter inch, you know? And then when we were supposed to get a decent rain, it would just dry up and we'd get nothing. And really, from June to like October into November, last year we didn't get hardly any rain at all. That's why even though going in and planting those winter wheat plots, after the other stuff didn't grow, they didn't even come up because we didn't have any rain until even November. So it was too late for those. That seed had sat there too long, things like that. Turkeys had come and picked it up. So worry about where that rain's going to fall, because if you don't get that, nothing's going to grow anyway. So my recommendation for your timing on your food plot, we do get asked that a lot. When should I plant this? When should I plant that? We see guys a lot that are get really antsy about when they're going to plant their stuff. We've got to get it in, got to get it in. Well, it's been dry. It's still going to be dry. Let's just wait for a rain. Plan around the season, not for those dates on a calendar, not for the dates that are specifically on the back of the bag. Again, it's a great guideline. If you can get rain in the middle of that somewhere, that's going to be the absolute best. But if you can't, just wait it out. Have a little bit of patience. You can grow this stuff. Brassicas are great for germinating really fast and coming up, and they grow really fast too. That's why you can plant them in August and September, and then they're fully mature before that frost hits and kills them. So the other thing, a benefit about those is when that frost does come in and kill them, they have the root that the deer will eat as well. That is fully developed. So that's how fast those things can grow. So don't get too overzealous about getting those in early just because that's what the dates are on the package. Plant for the season, not for the calendar. So now we'll shift to the other thing I wanted to talk about today. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. Kind of talked about it in the intro. It's something we've talked about for the last 2 years, and we talked about it on the last regular episode, and I hadn't checked on it in a while, but I've got good news, at least for those of you in Illinois, and really for anybody that is an outdoorsman, because we see this stuff all the time. When something happens in another state, if it's taking hunting rights away, if it's changing things around, or it makes things different, like we talk about the trail camera laws all the time, that stuff just filters out from there, and it makes its way into other states. Other governments within the state see that someone else did it, so they now it opens their eyes to the possibility of doing it, so then they want to do it. So even if you're not in Illinois, this is a positive for all you outdoorsmen that are listening to this, no matter where you're at. What I'm talking about is the House Bill, Illinois House Bill 2900. And that is essentially the bill that would ban contests for fur-bearing animals in the state. So your coyote contests, your raccoon contests, if they had squirrel hunting contests, thing like that. And depending on how far they wanted to take that fur bearer, I mean, you could go like our big buck contest. We talked about that. Everything could fall, a lot of things could fall underneath a fur-bearing contest. So that had actually passed and made it to the House floor. And from what everything I could find, that is eventually where the bill died. So it didn't make it through the House. I thought it had passed the House, but then I did some reading today, and it looks like they missed the deadline in the House. So it got kicked back to the Rules Committee back in, I believe it was April, because they missed the deadline to vote on it. And now, after that, as of May, the middle of May or the end of May, it was dead and it is no more. So it is very unlikely that something like that would ever come through again. Now, it could happen, so make sure you pay attention. That's what we talked about when we've been talking about this bill. These things are important to pay attention to. I feel like we kind of lucked out on that because, I mean, it was right there at the doorstep of becoming a law. It would have been obviously tough to pass the Senate, and they could have filibustered it out in there as well, but it was close. I mean, it was in the House. It was on the House floor. So that's closer than I would like it to be in future. So we as conservationists, as hunters, as outdoorsmen, pay attention to that stuff, and that's where your vote matters within your state, locally, things like that. So keep that in mind. But it is good news that that did not pass. So I wanted to update everybody on that because I know we talked about it last week and that had come out towards the end of May, middle May. I actually think it might have been the 24th or something like that of May when the bill was pronounced dead, basically. So it's not going to come up for vote again. It can't be sent to the House again unless they propose another bill that is similar to that, but I would think that would be unlikely. What this does for the politicians, and not to get too political, but the ones that brought it up, sponsored it, signed on for it, and got it to the House, now they can say, well, we try. They can tell their constituents that they did everything they could, but it's everybody else's fault that it got kicked back, and now they don't have to do anything else and potentially make anybody else mad. And if there were people in their district or whatever that were upset about it, now they can say, well, it didn't pass anyway, so, you know, we're not going to do it again. And the other people, they'll tell them they tried, and that's usually how politics works. So I think we're good on that front, but nonetheless, it was good news that bill didn't pass, and I wanted to wrap up this week and this episode on a good note like that. So go out there and make sure you enjoy your rights to the outdoors. If there are fur-bearing contests this year, maybe go enjoy those a little bit more. Just as maybe a metaphorical middle finger, if you will, to the people who sponsored that bill, who brought it up in the first place. So I think those will be booming this year, and I'm looking forward to it. That's all I got for this week, guys. Make sure you tune in for Monday's episode. It's going to be a good one. We'll see you then.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.